we go. If you want to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're looking at verses 25 through 34. The title message this morning is, What Gets the Spotlight? What Gets the Spotlight? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. If you would please stand in honor of God's Word as we read this passage together. It's very early on in Jesus' ministry. This is part of the content of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is really, I guess, when Jesus comes in. This is a very much an introduction of Jesus to this world to say, this guy's different than anyone who's ever lived. And you see that in his teachings here on the Sermon on the Mount. And then you see that, of course, throughout the rest of his earthly ministry. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, we're going to jump in here. And it says, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet of your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. We're going to stop right there. Let's go in prayer together. Father, we thank you, God, for this time, Lord. And God, it's just so good to be back in your house, God. And Father, we know there's so many different things going on, as we're going to talk about later on in the message this morning, that Father, there's so much going on around us, Father, but it's so good to be able to come in here into your house, God, Father, to hear your word, and Lord, to really just to have this time to get refocused. God, we know we can get so distracted, Father, by things that are going on and good things that are good, that are important. But we know, Lord, that it's so easy to get distracted and to lose our focus. And so, Father, that's a big part of what we do here on Sunday mornings, is to come back in and to get refocused and to really just set aside a time in our week to come together as a body and to focus upon you, focus upon your word, and to help get recalibrated and to be ready to go take on another week and to deal with whatever decisions we might have to make, whatever trials we have to face, that we would be prepared and equipped, God, to live for you, Father, in this world. And God, that's a big part of what we're doing here. But Father, we also know that if there's anybody here who is not a Christian, who does not know you, God, that is of utmost importance, that they may be saved, they may be born again to experience your forgiveness. And God, it's a miracle. We can't do that. God, we're natural. There's nothing about us. We don't have that power. God, it is a supernatural event for someone to be saved, for their eyes to open, for them to see you for who you are, to come into that relationship with you, Father, that their sins can be forgiven, taken out of the way, that stand between us and you, and that, Father, they can be united to you, reconciled to you, Father, both right then at that moment, instantaneously, and forever. And, Father, we pray that that would happen. God, if there's anyone here this morning who is not a Christian, or anyone who might listen to this recording, who is not a Christian, who doesn't know you, and that you do not know them, Father, I pray, God, that would change this morning. I pray that would change in the course of this message. But God, we do pray for your blessing upon this time together. Pray for your Spirit, God, to fill each one of us, to fill this place, God, where we can feel your power and the power of your word and your testimony. But we thank you, God, for all these things. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And be seated. So what gets the spotlight? The focus. What is the top story of the day? I don't watch the news very much, but if I do watch it, it's always important to me to watch the first 5 minutes. I want to know what's the top story. I don't want to watch the last 5 minutes of the news. I want to watch the first 5 minutes. What is the top story of the day? What gets the focus? What gets the spotlight? Now, as he is sharing these things, he's pointing out that there were a lot of different things that were being sought after and pursued in his day. In the course of day-to-day life, he mentions these things, clothing and food, what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink. You know, just their daily needs. In day-to-day life, there's all these things that we focus upon that are being pursued, that are being sought after. And he, probably the best way of summarizing that is verse 32. It says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." And he's speaking to a Jewish audience, those who are God's people. And he's saying that everyone's seeking after these things. The whole world seeks after these things. He's recognizing there's so many different things that are sought after, that are pursued. And that was true in Jesus' day. But today we live in the information age. There has never been a time when people have had more coming at them than today. We are completely bombarded with information. Just the information from yesterday, from Saturday, April 24th, just the information from yesterday alone, from all over the world, if you tried to filter through it, if you tried to sift through it, if you tried to process it, it would take a lifetime to do so. That's how much information is coming at us. Just the events of one day, as they're reported, if you tried to process that and really understand what happened yesterday and all the background behind it, it would take you an entire lifetime to process it. That's not an exaggeration. And there's going to be more going on today. And then there will be more going on tomorrow and the rest of this week. We are completely bombarded with information today. People basically, myself included, we stay in information overload. I mean, we're overstimulated. There's so much coming at us every single day. There has never been a time when there has been more competition for your attention and for your focus. You think about just right now. People are worrying about inflation, the price of goods, supplies, or even the shortage of goods and supplies. There's a shortage, there's prices that are going up. We're about inflation. The inflation of home prices have skyrocketed in this area. We're thinking about, you know, what's happening economically. We're thinking about possible tax increases on the way. We think about civil unrest, police shootings, protest. We're still processing the long-term effects of the pandemic, about variant strains coming in. We mentioned in Sunday school class things that are happening in India right now. They thought that they were out of the woods, that they were with the rest of the world and had kind of weathered the storm. They haven't even started the storm. It starts this week. There's all these different things that are going on. It's a lot to take in. And there'll be more tomorrow and the next day. By next Sunday, there's going to be much more to process than things I just rattled off, just off the top of my head. So for that reason, you know, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but for that reason, Jesus' words are even more applicable and needed today than they were the day that He said them. Would you agree with that? I mean, these people that He's talking to, they were bombarded with things. They're under Roman rule. There's all these political things happening. You know, what if there's a change in power? What if there's persecution and oppression? You know, what if there's a revolt, food shortages, famine, droughts, things like that. They had a lot of things they were worrying about. But it's nothing like today as far as what they had to process, what they had to deal with. So for that reason, I believe Jesus' words, the things we just read this morning, are even more applicable and needed today than they were the day that He said them. Jesus is saying something very controversial here. Do you hear what He's saying? He's mentioning all these things upon which we focus, and He's saying, do not focus on any of these things. Don't focus on any of it. Our economy, don't worry about it. Taxes, don't worry about it. COVID, don't worry about it. There might be 500,000 people die in India this week. Don't focus on that. That's what Christ is saying. And in my mind, police shootings. Don't think about police shootings. Don't think about protest. Don't focus on these things. That's what Jesus is saying. To which the world shouts and says, "Are you crazy? These things are important." And notice He's not saying they're not important. He says, "Your Father knows that you have need of these things." He knows what's going on in this world. He's not saying that they're not important, but He's saying, do not focus on these things. It's a very controversial statement that Jesus is making here. We read this and we think, oh, that's very comforting. as he says these things that God's going to take care of us. But really, but what he's saying is also very controversial. He is saying, do not focus on any of these things. They're important. They're needed. Your Father in heaven knows that you need them even before we ask. But none of these deserve the spotlight. That's what he's saying. You have something far more important to focus on. What is it? He's saying, do not focus on any of these things. Do not worry about any of these things. Focus and worry about this. Go to verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What he's saying is this. Of first importance, number one priority, this is what gets the spotlight. This and this alone deserves our undivided attention. That is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what, as Jesus is speaking to His audience, He's saying, I'm telling you, all these other things, He's fully aware of all these things that they're worried about, they're concerned about, they're focused on. He's saying, don't focus on any of those things. I'm going to tell you, forget those things. I'm going to tell you, this is what you need to focus on. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. That was His message to His original audience there around probably, 27 AD, 2,000 years ago. It's the same message today. It's the same message to you. This is what you need to focus on. The kingdom of God and His righteousness, and that alone is your focus. Of number one importance, of number one priority, this and this alone gets the spotlight. It is the only thing that deserves our undivided, and notice I use that term intentionally, our undivided attention. To which you may reply, Jordan, you need to get real. My job's in jeopardy. I don't have enough money as it is, but taxes are going up. I'm trying to buy groceries, and the price is going up every day. I need to buy a home. I can't buy a home. If you're not in the housing market right now in Blount County, you can't get in. You can't jump into it because you have to sell a home in Blount County in order to buy a home in Blount County because the prices are skyrocketing. You may say, people are getting shot and killed in our community. Not in New York or Chicago, but in Knoxville, or in the Knoxville area, of which we're included in our community. People are getting shot and killed. My brother is a teacher at Austin East. This hits home. There are shootings happening every day. Today there will be a shooting somewhere around us. People are getting shot and killed every single day. Probably 500,000 people may die in India this week from COVID. You may say to me, Jordan, get real. You have the audacity to tell me, for me to come in here, and you're going to tell me to just forget those things and focus upon this? Focus upon the kingdom of God and His righteousness? To which I would reply to you, I think you need to get real. If 500,000 people die in India this week, where are they going to go? You want to talk factually? Then what? 500,000 people die this week and are burned and cremated. Where are they now? Where will they be this time next week? Then what? What happens next? Yeah, I'm concerned about the big picture. Are you? You know, we send money to India to help support ministries. I would not give a cent for a humanitarian effort. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. I want to dig wells. I want to help people have food. I want to help meet those daily needs and give them the gospel. If I leave that out, I'm wasting my time. have some news for you. You want to get real? Let's get real. 1.3 billion are dead in 100 years. 1,300 million people will die in India in the next 100 years, and there is absolutely nothing anyone in this room can do to stop it, or anyone outside this room. The United States government cannot stop it. The Indian government cannot stop it. They will die. Then what? 1.3 billion will be dead and buried. Then what? I'm getting real. Christ is getting real. What happens then? Where do they go? When someone gets shot and killed, where do they go? Where do they go? You know, there is a judgment of God coming. And in that judgment of God, you know what you're not going to be asked about? What was the price of milk during your lifetime? When you stand before the infinite God, He's not going to say, what was the federal income tax rate during your brief lifetime on this planet? It won't come up. Do you know why it won't come up? Because it absolutely does not matter. It doesn't matter at all. It will not come up because it's irrelevant. You know what you're going to be asked? Are you part of the kingdom of God? Do you have the righteousness of God? That's the only question that will be asked. Because that's the only question that matters. We get distracted. I get distracted. I have to get undistracted. I have to get focused on what matters. That's why Jesus said this. I mean, there's all this going on. I mean, they're in the Roman Empire. There are political things happening all the time. Economic things happening all the time. All these different things. He's saying it's all distraction. Forget every bit of it. Focus upon the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You're a fool if you focus on anything else. And He's telling the truth. And He's getting real. And He's factual. Someone dispute any fact that I just said. They won't die? Oh, nothing happens after you die? Based upon what? I want your evidence and I'll give you mine. I think something happens. I think it's either heaven or hell. I think you go on forever. I think you're an eternal creature. You've been created in the image of God. This body, this life is a very brief vapor. It's going to come to an end in this world, but you're going to go on forever. I believe that's true. And I have strong reason. We have evidence, as we sang earlier. I have evidence upon which that is based. There's a reason why Bill's singing about don't have money, but I have a Christian home. That's all that matters. It's amazing how, you know, the faithfulness of God we sang about in our hymns this morning. All these things tie in, and you're going to see in a moment, even our adult Sunday school class ties directly into what we're looking at this morning. I don't think it's a coincidence. There is a judgment of God coming, and what's going to matter is whether or not you're part of the kingdom of God. Anytime I have friends right now who are facing death. They have terminal illnesses. What's my question? Only question you can ask. Are they saved? What happens when they die? I'm praying for a miracle. I'm praying for a terminal disease, a terminal illness. I'm praying for a miraculous turnaround in their health. But I'm praying even more that they're saved and that they know Christ. Because even if their life is extended, it will only be extended. They're going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. And Jesus knows that because He gets real. We ignore these things. We're distracted. We don't focus on what reality is. But Christ is being real in this passage. He's telling them this is the only thing you need to think about. This is your number one priority. This is your focus. This and this alone is what gets the spotlight. That's all that's going to matter is whether or not you're part of the kingdom of God and whether or not you possess His righteousness. That will be the only question. You know, people used to come to Jesus. Now think about this. In light of what I've already said this morning, he used to come in and say, Lord, my brother got an inheritance and he won't share it with me. To which Jesus replied, who cares? And that's a reasonable response. At the time, he was probably exasperated saying, I care. I mean, he's stolen from me. I should be getting that inheritance as well. He should be sharing it with me. I'm sure he was exasperated, but the truth was, it doesn't matter. That guy's dead now. The person who got the inheritance is dead now. Whether it was shared or not is irrelevant at this point. And Christ knew it then. He said, basically, it doesn't matter. Tell my brother to share his inheritance with me. They came to him and said, should we pay taxes to Caesar? His response really was, who cares? Give me a coin. Okay, whose picture's on that? Caesar's. Good. Give it back to him. Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, but render to God that which is God's. Whose image do you bear? Whose image does Caesar bear? Focus upon the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what he's saying. Don't focus upon the tax rate. Focus upon the kingdom of God and His righteousness. They even come to him and say, Lord, front page news, they're reading the newspaper. Did you hear about Pilate mingling the blood of certain Jews as they were going up to do their sacrifices? He had Roman soldiers come in and fall upon them and kill them. And as they're giving the blood of their sacrifice, they're at the temple, their blood is spilt with it. This act of governmental authoritarian oppression, have you heard about this? What did Jesus say? It doesn't matter. He said, do you suppose they were sinners above all sinners? Yeah, this act of authoritarian oppression, yes, I'm aware of that. Do you think they were worse sinners than everyone else? All right, he brings up and says, what about that Tower of Siloam that fell and killed 18 people? Do you think they were worse sinners than anyone else? He said, no. None of that's true. He said, but I say unto you, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. Did they die in faith to God? Hey, hopefully everyone in this room already knows this. This is a rough world. You may get shot and killed tomorrow. Well, I'm a Christian. I know you're a Christian. You may get shot and killed tomorrow over nothing, over $5. That's the nature of this world. That's reality. The question is, if you get shot at a gas pump over $5 by a drug addict, my question is this. My primary question is not going to be, what are we going to do about this drug epidemic? What are we going to do about gun violence? My question is this. Are you going to heaven or hell when you get shot? Or when you get cancer? Or when you die of COVID-25? Or whatever else may come down the pike? Where are you going to go when you die? That's what matters. We live in a brutal world. It's important that you're saved. That's what Christ is saying here. People used to come to Christ with all these questions and bringing up different situations to Him. But I want you to think about this. As they're bringing all these things up, they're saying, oh, He's a great teacher. He's very wise. Let's go ask Him. They were kind of on the right track. But you know what Jesus is really saying? You think about it as He makes this statement. They're on that mountain. He can say, you have all these needs, all these things that you're focused on, that are taking your attention, taking your focus. As they're asking about a man as powerful as Caesar, I mean, who has this entire empire under his control, under his thumb. I think Jesus is trying to get their attention to say, you know, this planet upon which you stand is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. Did you know that? They didn't know that then. We know, one of these days, men are going to discover, they're going to test this, and they're going to know that this planet is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. That's why the sun's going to go down later and come back up again tomorrow. About a 25,000-mile planet spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, it'll go all the way around in around 24 hours. We're moving 1,000 miles per hour. Not only that, but we're spinning around the sun at about 65,000 miles per hour. That's why it's getting warmer outside. Because as we're moving around it, we're getting a little bit closer to the sun. We're facing the sun a little bit more. The seasons change because of where we live on this planet and our proximity to the sun, which is changing at a rate of 65,000 miles per hour. And then on top of that, you're inside of a Milky Way galaxy, which is a spiral galaxy, which is spinning at about 500,000 miles per hour. So you're, as we said before here in sermons, you're moving right now. If this service lasts for an hour, you will have changed position in the universe by about 600,000 miles. And Jesus is saying, okay, all these things, I understand. You're very concerned with all these things. He said, I'm the one spinning it. If I say so, it stops spinning. Are you sure you don't have a different question for me besides whether or not you should pay this tax? Can you not come up with a better one than that? Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who's looking you in the eye right now? You're talking to God. You need to get refocused. They looked right past him. He walked through this world and unrecognizable. There's a few people that recognize him. There was Simeon. When he came in as a baby to the temple, he picked him up and said, "The salvation of God, I'm holding it." There were people who recognized him. There's a woman who washed his feet with her hair, with her tears. This is God we're talking about. That was completely... It seems so inappropriate. What is... That is completely, you know, socially unacceptable. But she knew who he was. She had a glimpse of who he was. A thief on the cross dying got a glimpse of who he was, who he is. He said, when you come into your kingdom, oh, there's still going to be a kingdom. I see you completely bleeding, you know, bleeding to death. I see you up here suffering, suffocating, wearing a crown of thorns, being mocked. But there is going to be a kingdom because you're the king. He recognized who he was. He saw a glimpse of who he was. And it was appropriate to say, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He had that kind of power. This man's dying. He's dying. He's going to be dead in a matter of hours. And he's saying it doesn't matter. You know what matters? The kingdom of God. When you come into your kingdom, what's he talking about? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's saying, I'm suffering justly. He yells at the other criminal and say, why are you running your mouth to him? We're the ones suffering justly. This man is suffering unjustly. Then he turns to Jesus. He's saying, I deserve to die. Don't get me off this cross. Save my soul. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. I have a future beyond this cross, and so do you. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he says, today, you will be with me in paradise. You're coming with me because I have that kind of power. I say, you're coming with me, you're coming with me. That's who we're talking about here. And Jesus, the one who created all things and by whom all things consist, is sitting there in their midst, and he's saying, yes, these things are important, but you're losing sight of what really matters. You need to be focused upon me and me alone. That's not egotism. That's fact. That's reality. Reality is based upon this person. You know, I look at that and just think, how blind can you be? But I do the exact same thing. I do the exact same thing that they did. I look right past Jesus and I see everything else. And the spotlight goes on everything else, on this problem, this priority, this concern. That's why I'm preaching on this morning, because I need to hear this. The number one focus, the number one priority is Christ, is God, His kingdom, His righteousness. He deserves the front page every day. In reality, I don't care what happens tomorrow, the front page should read Christ reigns. Because whatever happens tomorrow, you ask them 100 years ago, what happened on this date? They're going to say, nope, I don't remember. But guess what's going to be happening 100 years from today? Christ will be reigning. Guess what's going to be happening a billion years from today? Christ will be reigning. That will never change. Everything else is going to change. The headline story every single day is Christ reigns. Christ is God. He died upon the cross. He rose again on the third day. That's front page news. Every day, that's the spotlight. That steals the show. That steals the spotlight. Nothing can rival it. The infinite, eternal God has come to us. He's the one who in a geographic location on this planet stood and said these words. It was God standing here. The infinite, eternal God has come to us. And He has opened access to Himself, sinners though we be. Our sin has separated us from God. Because God is holy, our sin has come between us and Him, has separated us from God. That's part of why we're blind and we don't see Him for who He is. It's a blind world. That's why they're so worried about everything else. Completely blind to the fact that they're going to be dead in 50 years, if not in 50 minutes, because life is the brevity of life, the fragility of life. We could die at any second. We're blinded to these things by our sin, separated from God, a holy God. But our sin that separated us from God has been removed in the cross of Christ. That's why we commemorate and celebrate Good Friday and Easter. That's what steals the show. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. The writer of Hebrews saw this, and it's the most glorious thing he has ever seen. And as he expresses it through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's the most glorious thing that I've ever seen, that you've ever seen, whether you recognize it or not. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that same man who was speaking on that hillside did not stay on that hillside. Many other things developed in his life, happened in his life, transpired. And this is who he is. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, he did ascend. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You know, the audience of the book of Hebrews, they were persecuted Christians, and they were thinking about going back to Judaism. And the writer's saying, whatever you do, don't be so foolish as to return to a dead religion. Hang on to Christ. Hold fast our profession. You've got it. You've got the answer of all answers. Don't go after and pursue another answer. And you'll get killed. You'll get beaten in prison. Who cares? Hang on to Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, our high priest, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Yes, he lived in this world too, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And his sinlessness is my sinlessness. Let us therefore come. Listen what this says. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What is that talking about? So many different things happened when Jesus died. Earthquake, darkness. It shook people. Literally and figuratively, they were shaken by watching him die upon that cross. Something else transpired at the same time. There was a veil that was rent. Coincidentally, was torn, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom. God tore it. What did that symbolize? Come. There was a separate... God is the one who said, you better make a thick curtain between me and you. You cannot come to me. I'm holy, you're not. Jordan, I'm holy, you are a sinner. A wretched sinner. You cannot come to me. But then Jesus died. And God tore His own veil and said, now you can come. That's what verse 14 is talking about. Christ has gone not into this physical Holy of Holies, which was burnt down 70 or 40 years later. He went into the Holy of Holies, upon which the little model was built here in the temple and in the tabernacle. He went into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. And He's sitting there now interceding for me and for you if you've trusted in Him. The veil was torn. We have access to God. That steals the spotlight from everything else. That steals the show. Let's make it a little bit more personal. Look at John 14. We'll close with these two passages. Notice this is what Jesus Himself says. John 14 is the night before He's going to be crucified. It's part of this conversation. Revelation 3:20, we're going to read in a moment, is when He is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of the future. Who cares? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the focus. He's the star of the show. Put the spotlight on Him and then fix it in place. He is the star. John 14, 22 through 23. When I say we have access to God, listen to how this is described. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto Him, if a man love Me, he will keep My words. And My Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I want you to think about that. Revelation 3:20. This is the church of Laodicea, the letter that Jesus is dictating, that John is writing down. This is to be delivered to the church of Laodicea. He says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with Me. Do you hear that? how personal that is, how the intimacy that he's describing there, that we have access to him, that we have like a legal access to come before the throne, to come before the judge, but also not just the infinite God and our Creator, but our Father. Jesus is Father. We can come to the Father. He will have his abode with us. We will come into him and make our abode with him. If we'll open the door, he will come in and sup with us. There's an intimacy, and there's a that Christ, who is the star of everything, that we can have this relationship. That term, people say, well, do you have a personal relationship with God or a personal relationship with Christ? That term is kind of thrown around. I mean, really, a personal relationship with God. I know him. I'll put it this way, and going off the wording you see here, I was a fool for so many years. I wasted so much time. Every morning, I have a standing meeting. It is the meeting that is the priority above all other meetings I'll have throughout the day. Every morning I have a meeting. I sit down and I drink a cup of coffee with Jesus, with the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Does that sound crazy? It's not crazy. It would be crazy if he hadn't said this. Every morning, we sit down together and have a cup of coffee. He doesn't drink coffee, but I do. And he speaks to me, and I speak to him, and we get my day set. We get my mind set. I have an infinite divine counselor who talks to me about my day before I go face my day, and he gets me ready. Every morning. It happened this morning. It happened yesterday. It happened Friday. For years I had this access. The infinite mind, the divine counselor said, come and talk with me, and I blew right past him. And I went out to school and I went out to work. Finally he put enough on me where I was overwhelmed enough to where he said, now are you ready to sit down and talk? Now I'm ready. I'll miss my morning meeting with men if I have to. Now I need to wake up early. And so if it's on me to wake up early to have that time with God. But if I make the mistake of not waking up early, I'm not going to make another mistake by putting a priority over God. I'm going to sit down and talk with him before I go talk to anybody else. And that's offered. He's saying, the door's open. My door's open. Come in anytime. Converse with me. It's amazing what a difference it makes. Every day. Especially during the weekday, I go in overwhelmed. I come out ready. Next day, I go in overwhelmed. I come out ready. You think, well, Jordan, how does that happen? If you knew the one I was talking to, you'd understand. It's unmanageable. It's manageable because of him. That's what he offered me. I'm not holy. I'm not somebody special. This is offered to me as a child of God. It's offered to you too. The only question is who takes him up on it. That's the only question. You know, sometimes we go and sit down and, man, I'm really struggling with things. They seem so big. But then I start talking to the infinite God and those things begin to shrink. Suddenly, you know, it's like in a dark room, you know, a candle or a flashlight can be blinding. But when the sun comes up, you can't even see it. That's what it's like. This is the real light. He steals the show from everything else. Steals the spotlight from everything else. And we sit there and we converse together. And you know, he reminds me. There's times if I get discouraged, I think, man, I'm falling behind. I'm missing out on things. I'm not. You know, he reminds me of things that, you know, Jordan, just so you remember, your inheritance, not when I die. He's life. I mean, he can't die, but when you die, it's a weird inheritance. It's not whenever the one who possesses it, not when he dies, but when I die. You do remember that when you die, you get everything, right? I'm giving it all to you and your brother because Christ is an heir of all things, and I'm a joint heir with him. Remember, as you get stressed out today, feel like you're falling behind, remember, I'm giving it all to you. He didn't have to. That's infinite, unimaginable. I'm a wretched sinner. But he's forgiven me and he's including me in the inheritance. His word's not mine of all things. He's saying, Jordan, all creation, don't forget all creation's going to you. That you're my child, you're an heir and a joint heir with Christ. It all goes to you, so don't worry about it. That's what Jesus is saying here. You know, in Revelation, everybody's so obsessed with the book Revelation, the opening of the seals. You know what that is? There's seven seals. What's being opened? It's the will. That is a Roman. That's why Romans, they would write out their will. Wealthy aristocrats, wealthy men would write out their will on front and back, and they would seal it. That's the will. And Jesus says, okay, it's time for the inheritance. And he starts popping the seals, these wax seals, and unrolling the will to say, it all goes to Jesus, and it all goes to the children of God. All of creation, heaven and earth, it all goes to us. You're not missing out on anything today. Do you know what you have in Christ? You don't. I don't. What are we going to survey it? 92 billion light years from end to end? Who knows the heavens, which are superior? We're incapable of surveying creation and what God has promised for those and has set aside for those that love Him. And as I take, and then here's the thing. He's saying, Jordan, you're my heir. You're my apprentice. You're going to go through some training today. It's going to be hard, but it's going to get you ready to inherit this thing. There's going to be some trials today. It's not because I don't love you. It's preparing you that this light, momentary affliction is preparing for you an eternal weight of glory. Might be a way to word it. That's how he describes it. But you're not ready to inherit this eternal weight of glory. I'm preparing you. It's not because I don't love you. I'm preparing you to inherit this eternal weight of glory. He's training me. I'm his apprentice. He's my master. He's my teacher. He's instructing me. And it's not just in the morning. It's throughout the day. He's checking in with me all day, throughout the day. How's it going? What are you thinking? How'd that last one go? That didn't go so well, did it? It's going to go differently the next time. Try it again. Try it again. It's training, it's instruction. And I'll say this, my day is absolutely dominated by God. It's all Him. He dominates the entire day. He just absolutely overshadows everything. And everything that I encounter, I'm constantly talking to Him saying, what do you think about that? What do you think, God? It's a constant. Every time new information hits me, I ask Him what He thinks about it. That's what Offer does. As we get ready, as we close to here this morning, I'm going to ask Bill and Tori to come. Ask everybody to stand if you would. I began this message by asking the question, what gets the spotlight? What's on the forefront of your mind when you walked in here this morning? What was on the forefront of your mind throughout the day yesterday? What gets the spotlight? That's one question. But I'm going to ask this question, what should get the spotlight? What should be on the forefront of your mind? If we're being real, if we're being factual, what else could it be but God? We live in a God-dominated creation. And we should think and focus our attention accordingly. It's amazing, as he says here, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. They're going to be taken care of. You know, I mentioned India. That's heavy on my heart. I don't watch the news very much, but I watched it last night. See what's happening in India. I got friends there. Anil, he's a dentist. Anath, he's a surgeon. Guess who's treating these patients that come in? They're not doctors in infectious disease, but they're pulling in all medical staff they possibly can to treat these COVID patients. Anna's had COVID. He has some natural immunity, but you can get it twice. And Neil, I don't think, has had it yet. He may get it. He may die. That's fine. What happens when he dies? He goes to heaven. He's going to go to heaven. Anna's going to go to heaven. VJ's going to go to heaven. The pastor who died this past week of COVID, who was running the Village Bible Schools, it's sad. It's a hit. He's in heaven. Probably at one point in his life, he was a Hindu. He was talking to a statue, asking a statue to bless him and help him and to save him. But then he heard about the infinite God. And then he got saved. And then he spent the rest of his life teaching little kids about the infinite God. But now he's dead. But he's with the infinite God. All these things will be added unto you. Now he's entered into that inheritance. Now he's with Christ. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Paul said, it's far better for me to go and be with Christ. But for your sake, it's better that I stay here. That's the situation for the Christian. If you have Christ, you've got it all. I want to give people Christ. I don't care about giving it. You want money too? Sure, take money. That's fine. I want you to have Christ. He's what you need more than anything. More than a lower tax rate, more than more money, more than a better job, more than a more safe environment to go to school, more than all those other things. You need Christ more than anything. Amen. If you don't have Him, again, the offer's wide open. Come and get Him. Come and get Him. He offers Himself to us. He's given us access. I like this song we're going to sing, Hand in Hand with Jesus. Listen to the intimacy of this. Just like a little kid with his father. That's how I walk with God. My hand in His hand. And He guides me. He leads me. There's no terrain we can't take on together. I can't do anything. I'll fall in the ditch and die. But with Him, I can take on any terrain. Hand in hand with Jesus. We sing this together. If you need to pray this